like the first disciples in that first Easter, we come here this morning not knowing what to find, perhaps cold, hungry, in the midst of the dark of the night, but we have come to see Jesus, and that is the same with us today. We have come to see by faith Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus Christ say to a generation like ours? What is it that Jesus Christ might say to you, to me, and to this world here, whoever may be listening to us on this day that around the world for thousands of years has been celebrated as Easter and the day of resurrection? Today is also, I was told recently, I learned, is the day of transvisibility. So, well, on this day where you have competing visions of reality, competing visions of humanity, what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ says? The Lord Jesus Christ says these words from Acts chapter 19. If you have a copy of your Bible, I invite you to turn there with me. Acts chapter 19, verse 22 through 31. This is the word of Jesus Christ. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." If we were to paraphrase and translate Acts 19 to modern jargon, it would sound like this, and it would be this: "Men of Jersey City, men of North Jersey, men of America, I see that in every way you are religious, perhaps not as religious as spiritual. We are, in fact, very spiritual. No one wants to be religious in our day. Everyone wants to rather be spiritual. And in this spirituality of ours, we have ourselves at the very center of it. With great religious zeal, man worships man." In fact, if we were to take note of the religion of our day, we would see that, like Paul in Athens, we are surrounded by the objects of man's worship. We are surrounded by the tall buildings. We are surrounded, we are in fact in front of the Freedom Tower and the great objects of modernity. We have tall buildings, we have urban development, we have all this commerce. We have innovation, we have entertainment galore, we have all manner of distractions. And in this religion of ours, we love ourselves. And we're so persuaded by our own power and by our own might that we believe that we have, in fact, the power of life and death. Our society, this society, your society, kills its own children in the womb, in the name of liberty, in the name of democracy and days of visibility. We mutilate our own bodies and we worship ourselves in this way. And in this society of ours, we have a religious, zealous insistence that there's nothing wrong there's absolutely nothing wrong with us. And if there is something wrong, then we can know it and we can fix it. And yet, we continue to grasp at something we can't quite reach. This society, our society, is dying in something, in search of something worth living for. We are materialistically bound in search of something transcendent. In the name of self-worship, we cannot reach beyond you and me and us, beyond the mortality of this life, beyond the finality of death. We have become such a paradox. We have become substantially empty. We have become visible in our lives. And this thing that we need, this thing that you need, that I need, the church proclaims to you. Even as Paul proclaimed the gospel to the Athenians, so the church proclaims on this Easter Sunday, the thing that we all need. What we need is not a day of visibility of lies that will only bring more death. What we need is the visibility, is to see the visibility of what is real, not what we have deluded ourselves to believe. And what is real is this. Reality begins with this. You and I are not God. Man is not God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And what you need most, what I need most, is to surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only in Jesus Christ that we have life. It is only in Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things, that we, in resting in Him, will find true rest. The gods of this world, the gods of the Athenians, the god of our modern society, are products of our own imagination. But the real God made the heavens and the earth. The God of the Bible is the only one who is really real. He is the one who has given you existence and life. Now, you might, and we might, deny Him all our lifelong best. But in the end, we will find that whatever we have denied that is real, we will see that it will be proven infinitely and eternally true. What about this God? What about this God? In His infinite wisdom, this God, the God of the Bible, allotted everyone in their proper time and place. And God put every actor in His divine drama and gave them their role to play. And what is the role for each of us to play? To seek God. And God, you see, as Paul says to the Athenians, God says to us today, God is infinitely near and close to each and every one of us. God is not a localized piece of wood or a statue, like a deity, like a false god, like an idol, right? You have to carry it with you so that it goes with you wherever you are. God's not like that. God is everywhere. God is here, right now, with us, with you. And God, who is here, made you for Himself. He's not like the gods that we serve. You can't ignore Him forever. You can't manipulate and scheme your way with this God. That's the way we do it with all of life, right? We manipulate, we scheme with our coworkers, with our spouses, our friends. But you can't manipulate your way with God. You cannot give Him anything to bribe Him, because He doesn't need anything from you, from us. So what's going to be the resolution between this back and forth between humanity and God, this war that rages against God by man? Here's the resolution. This is how the story ends. Something happened 2,000 years ago that we celebrate today that has completely changed human history. In fact, the Bible calls that the end of history. The long-awaited prophesied end of humanity has come upon us. And so often we think that the end is future, but that's not the case. The end has already begun. And before this event 2,000 years ago, God overlooked all manner of ignorance in human societies. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, to confess that they have rebelled against him, to ask him for forgiveness. Why? Because the end is here. The end has arrived. And how do we know that the end is here? How do we know that God's judgment races towards us? Because the one whom God has appointed to judge all, God has raised from the dead. You see, the last days arrived with Jesus Christ. The last days were brought in by his very person and work. It is in his very person and work that salvation is found, that the forgiveness of sins is found, that everything that God promised would accompany the last stage of human history. It is all found in Jesus. And in fact, Jesus' resurrection began to turn the wheels of history and commence this final stage of mankind. In other words, because the last days are here and they have been here for 2,000 years, what the Bible says with this is that there's nothing that comes after this. This is it. This is the last stage of history. This is the last stage of mankind. Dead people cannot help us, cannot help you. Dead people cannot obligate you. Dead people cannot judge you. But Jesus is not dead. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. He is risen. God raised his Son from the dead to give life to all who trust in him, to all who believe him, not only as their personal king, but as the true king and God over all. But not only did God raise his Son from the dead to give life, but he raised his Son from the dead, as Paul says here, as God says here in Acts 19, in order to judge and condemn all those who would refuse Jesus Christ. Today there's a day of transvisibility. But there will come a day when God will have a God visibility day, a day of God visibility. And that day is called Judgment Day. On that day, the heavens will open and Jesus Christ will return and every eye will see him. Everyone on earth will behold him. And so the question remains, do you want to live? Or do you want to die? Do we as a society want to live? Or do we as a society want to die? People of God, people of the world, men of Jersey City, life is found only in Jesus Christ. So turn to Christ and be saved eternally. But if we are to refuse Christ, we will die an eternal death more hideous, more miserable, more painful than anything here on earth. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, take your word and implant it deep in our hearts, and may it bear much fruit that we would seek you always, the one true living God. And Father, may your word increase and take root in this city, in this state of ours, in this nation of ours that so desperately needs you. That Father, your word would conquer the darkness, that your word would conquer the lies of our day and every day. And that Father, the light of Christ would increase more and more. Use us, Father, as we seek you, as we are faithful to you, as we confess our sins and draw near to you day by day, to be pleased to add to the number of your church those whom you've appointed onto eternal life. Father, bless us this Easter Sunday, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.